following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
I'm excited about what we're doing from this week on for the next few. It's a new series called Improv in the book of Proverbs. And so I'm going to invite my son Nathan to come on forward, and he is going to read for us kind of the central text that we're going to be looking at this morning. And so he's been practicing. He's even got it in a Bible. He's going to open that up. And so everybody's going to really pay attention. And so, Nathan, you get right up to that microphone. And I'm telling you, you preach your heart out there, young man.
Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who obtains understanding. For her benefit is more profitable than silver, and her gain is better than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and none of the things you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand is riches and honor. Her ways are very pleasant, and all her paths are peaceful.
I would love to just simply say this. I would love to have people just do that. And you might be here and you just say, you know, I'm a little afraid of that, but I wouldn't mind just taking a turn at just standing before a church family and reading. And maybe it's you, or maybe it's your child. Please let us know. There's something powerful about that. So we want to talk a little bit about this new series. How many of you are familiar with the Dummy series? That series of books called the Dummy series. It's a growing thing. It's really interesting. 1,700 books right now on the Dummy series. And I mean, some of the titles in the Dummy series are really spectacular. You know, Cocktails for Dummies, Cocktail Parties for Dummies, Fishing for Dummies, Driving, there's actually a Driving for Dummies. That one scares me. Internet for Dummies. There's another one, Sex for Dummies. And the thing about Sex for Dummies is there's a lot of material on that. You just don't have to go to the Dummy series for that. But there is so much that you can find in the Dummy series. And here's why it's so popular. The reason it's so popular is because the Dummy series has been able to take complex or complicated topics and make it very simple, very accessible for people like you and I. That's why they've done so well. And the reason that I even bring this up is simply because of what we're going to be doing for the next several weeks. It's the book of Proverbs. And I would say, in a way, the book of Proverbs would fit so well within the Dummy series. It's like wisdom for dummies. Because it takes God's ageless, precious gift of wisdom and makes it so understandable and so accessible for people, average people, like you and I. And that's what I just love about the whole book. And we are going to just allow the book to really be unpacked. So I thought what we would do is just to kind of get our minds going on the book of Proverbs, because maybe for some of you, like, this is really new to think about what is Proverbs. Well, they're just these really supersonic kind of like nuggets of truth and wisdom that just kind of land on you. And I've just got a few examples of what we're going to find. And let's read these together. The first is Proverbs 26, verse 21. As a group in the room, let's just read this. A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers light charcoal or fire lights wood. You know anyone who's just, like, they're just in fights all the time? Has an awful lot to say about that. Here's another one. Proverbs 15:15. Let's read this together. When a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. When he is cheerful, everything seems right. And what Proverbs is basically saying here is your attitude in life really shapes everything. It's right, isn't it? Just a little nugget. Here's one more. Proverbs 27:14. Let's read this together. It says, if you shout a pleasant greeting to your neighbor too early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse. Now, you remember these days where your buddies were out partying too late and you come over and you said, hey, you know, I mean, it didn't go too good. Proverbs has something to say as to why. It's really an amazing book, very colorful book. And so there's this new journey that we want to go on, and we want to know what it is that God has to say through this book called Proverbs in Prov. And so as we kind of start out, one of the things that the book of Proverbs is, and we'll introduce that kind of as the theme today, is there's something hugely valuable that this book has to offer. If you could turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be moving around a little bit here this morning, so we'll have some passages from different parts, but you can get in the practice of maybe moving around with us. Let's start it out here with a dominant theme this morning of become wise. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. So it can be found. And the one who obtains understanding, for her benefit is more profitable than silver, and her gain is better than gold. Wisdom, it says, is better than winning the lottery. It's better than having a bunch of cold hard cash. In Greece right now, that would really be helpful. Verse 15, she's more precious than rubies, and none of the things you desire can compare with her. It says, getting wisdom's better than a whole bunch of jewels. These are strong metaphors and comparisons that are going on with the underlying premise that wisdom is it. It says in verse 16, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. And so the writer of Proverbs is saying, there's just something about wisdom that it's going to honor you, it's going to give you long life, there's going to be something that you will have wealth, even it's saying. There's some practical things that Proverbs says, you have wisdom, life will work better for you. Verse 17, her ways are very pleasant, and all her paths are peaceful. Pretty valuable. Do you believe this? What I want to do is I would like for us to just scroll with me. Think in your own mind. Do you know any wise people? You know some wise people? I know some wise people? Let's just think for a few moments. Do you know any wise dads? Any wise dads come to mind? And I want to ask the question, how valuable is it to have a wise father? I'm talking about dads that know, you know, how to live wisely, and they do their best how to raise their children to raise them to live wisely. Dads that know how to encourage and when to exhort. Dads that know when to come alongside tenderly and when to actually draw the line and stand firm. Dads that know when to teach and when to know when to listen. Dads that know when they should just allow counsel to be given to their child and when they should just step back and allow consequences to be the way that they learn that lesson. You know any wise dads? There's a passage in Proverbs chapter 17, 6 that says, an old man's grandchildren are his crowning glory. Child's glory is his father. It's saying here that children benefit for a lifetime because of a wise dad. Same could be said for children raised by wise moms. It says in Proverbs 31, verse 28, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. So, you know any wise dads? You know any wise moms? How valuable is that? Ask a child that's been raised by a wise mom and dad. You know what I think we'd hear? Better than gold. Let's think a little bit about a person you know that works wisely. How valuable is that? I mean, when you think about a person that just, they work in a wise way. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 22, 29 says, do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than ordinary people. I think this verse is just simply saying, that a person who works wisely over a long period of time, eventually they're going to be esteemed highly. There's just something about the way they engage and approach work. It's going to go well for them. Think about this with you. You know, what would happen if tomorrow morning we'd all go to work and we'd work wisely? Like, what would that do to the world economy? Like, if everybody did that, we'd go to work and we'd just say, no more baloney on the job site. Think about how much just baloney goes on the job site. How much folly goes on in the office cubicles. How much waste. Just think about if every one of us just went to work tomorrow and we worked wisely. If we did, it'd be better than gold, wouldn't it? I mean, that would change a lot, wouldn't it? Proverbs says, whether it's parenting or marriage or finance or wisdom pays. Wisdom is so valuable. Wisdom is something that we all need to move toward, which is why it says, become wise. Set your heart on it, because it's better than gold. Now, the book of Proverbs also says that there's something called consequences. Now, there's a payoff for acquiring wisdom, this is for sure. But there's also consequences if you and I, we neglect it. And so Proverbs refers to the lack of wisdom, and it uses this term called folly or foolishness. And you'd see that all through the book. And so, you know, I find myself reading through the book of Proverbs, especially for this study, and I come across these words like, you're a fool. And it's like, I read that word, and there's something in me that just goes, I wish you wouldn't use that word. And you know why I wish they wouldn't use that word? Because this is usually the context to which I, when I read that word. It says something along the lines, the wise take this path, but the fool takes this path. And the truth is, for me, I've taken that path too many times. So if I'm honest with myself, there's something that says, I don't want to be a fool, but I've done that. And so there's something that just stings. And I just think, oh man, I don't want that. And here's the thing. We need to, as a people, be aware of and open to the truth. And truth often stings, doesn't it? It's supposed to. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 22:15. Let's read this one together, okay? 22:15. Started out, it says, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but discipline will drive it away. This is just loaded with implications. You know what it's saying? It's saying all of us are born with a bent toward being foolish. Further, it's saying that this foolishness needs to be driven out of us daily, weekly, monthly, annually, decadely. It's just gotta be. And there's something that has to be going on in us, it's saying. Foolishness must be replaced by wisdom. And it's saying that there needs to be a growing up time. And if it doesn't happen, friends, we become dangerous people. You think about this with me. Little baby. Little cute little baby. They just act on impulse gratification. You think about it. They're sitting in a sandbox and they get a hunger pang. What do? They take their hand and they scoop up some sand and they shove it in their mouth. They want food. Little kid sees a little toy that someone else has and they want that toy. What do? Impulse gratification. They lunge for the toy. They'll tear the kid apart to get to the toy that they want. Impulse gratification. Proverbs is saying it's in all of us. It's in all of us. And that needs to change. It's saying, you know, we've got to grow out of this impulse gratification kind of rhythm. We've got to grow out of infant-like, folly-like patterns into more mature and become wise. And unfortunately, because we grow up in a world that just sells, you know, the need for you and I to just obey impulse gratification. Sadly, you know, it if we do this, the world becomes a zoo. Look at what's going on with men that just, they seek to gratify their sexual impulses with someone other than their wife. So you've got Tiger Woods, and you've got Jesse James, and a gazillion others. Well, the impulse, you satisfy it. The result, the consequence is what? Nothing but pain, brokenness, wrecked families, wrecked marriages. Like, how many more of these do we need to see? We see it with people. You know, they have their eye on something and they want to buy that thing so bad. The problem is they don't have the money for it. So what they do is they buy it anyway. That's the impulse. The consequence, they've now got a boatload of debt. And now it's just hard. Further, we see people, you know, they see something that they really, really want, and they know that they don't have the money for it. In fact, they really don't have a clue how else to get it other than they're going to steal it. That's the impulse. So what ends up happening? The consequence? Loss of credibility at best, jail time at worst. Friends, it's just like it's everywhere. Impulse commitments that we see people making. They have no intention of keeping those commitments. And then they break their word. They break their word. And so what ends up happening is wrecked relationships. And Proverbs is just simply saying, this is sheer infant folly. And it needs to change. This is a pretty challenging little book. 31 chapters. And its theme, become wise. Some of you are here today, and I don't think it's a mistake that you're here. And maybe you're even saying, wow, it's no mistake that I'm here today. And you're doing this quick evaluation of your own life. And maybe some of you are saying, you know what, I think I've hurt myself about enough. I've shed enough tears. I've drifted far enough from God's way. And you find yourself almost sitting there saying, enough folly. I don't want to learn life anymore from consequences. I don't. I want to learn life better through acquiring wisdom. And the good news of Proverbs is just simply this. You can do that today. You can enroll in the School of Wisdom today. So for the remaining minutes, let's just talk a little bit about how is it then that we even become, or how do we begin to become a wise person? I think the big thing, you know, we hear an awful lot about, and that is we can learn from our experiences. And to say this very simply, it is that you and I, we go through experiences every day. And these experiences oftentimes really show us and teach us what it is we ought to learn. For example, we walk through life, and there's a wall that we run into with our soft nose, and that hurts. And we break our nose, and we learn, wall hard, nose soft. Don't do that again. So we bandage our nose, and 5 weeks later, we could take the bandage off, but we've got a lesson. We've learned something. We've learned, I don't want to walk into a hard wall again because that really hurt my soft nose. So then what ends up happening is we then say, okay, well, that's a great life lesson. Here's the problem. Life happens so fast and the information and the wisdom that you and I require, we just need faster than walking into walls. I mean, how many 5-6 week periods do we have? We don't have enough bones in our body to break to learn everything that we need to learn in order to live wisely in this life. Would you agree? How many bones we got? So, yeah, it's an important thing to learn from our experiences, both good and bad. But this one I really like. What if we could figure out a way to learn from other people's experiences? What if we could learn to really be good students of other people's walking into hard walls with their soft nose? What if we could sit back and say, ooh, that's gotta hurt, you know? And we could say, I don't want to go through 5 weeks of blood and bandages. We basically do this. We say, okay, that lesson, I want that in my heart. And you look across and you say, oh, ooh, that's gotta hurt. I don't want to miss the lesson on that one. Now, We've saved ourselves 5 weeks in blood and bandages, but we're looking at life and we're learning from others' experiences. You follow what I'm saying? There's so much that, you know, this is allowing wisdom to start to grow within our lives. But I think there is the greatest resource of other experiences, and it's found in this thing called the Bible. Now, you think about this, friends. You just think, if you have access to, say, let's say 400 people and their past experiences and disappointments and all of the broken noses in life that they would have walked through, how valuable is that to you and I? That'd be huge. I mean, if I could, I mean, I would love that. So here's what we have. God, in this book, 66 books in this library, 40 authors have created all of these stories, life experiences that you and I, God says, take the time to read the lives of these people because they've walked into hard walls. Samson walked into a real hard wall. Learn what happens when you have a life filled with lust. That's going to break you up. So if you and I are keen on really becoming more wise, we're going to say, wow, Samson, that must have hurt. We can read from David and we say, you know, adultery, look at how badly that broke his nose. We say, oh, David, that's got to hurt. I want to learn from that. Solomon had all of these mistakes. And we could read the life of Solomon, and God says, read their experiences. Read their failures. Read what it is. They're running into walls and they're wrecking themselves. Take that, and then there's this theme in Scripture that says, Psalm 119, let me just read it for you. Psalm 119 says, verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I read the Bible. And I am even wiser than my elders, for I've kept your commandments. In other words, if we were to do this exercise as God calls us to do, friends, wouldn't we have wisdom beyond our years? How many walls can we walk into? How many times do we allow our nose to be broken? Yeah, we're going to learn something from that. But boy, that's a tough, long road. God invites us to be a wise person in a way that we can learn from others. And so as we read the Bible, as we read God's Word, God is talking to us, friends, because God sounds an awful lot like the Bible. So God speaks to me. And as God is speaking to me, He's breathing life into my soul, into your soul. And so as I read along, there's a verse that just lands on my heart. And it's like God is, like He just breathes life. And there's just something about what is just going on in my soul that it's not just words on a page anymore. There's life. And as I read the next morning, it's like I'm reading through, and maybe it's another proverb, and I'm just seeing the words on this single line. And it's like God just, just breathes life. And I just say, God, I want that to be poured into my heart. I want it to be poured into my heart. There's something really, really important that we understand about wisdom. That God promises, I want to do a one-on-one appointment with you. Read my Bible. How do we do this? Well, four things, really. You need a Bible. When you want to go meet with God, you've got to bring your Bible. Not the daily bread. Nothing against the daily bread. Not your favorite book. Nothing against Christian books or whatever. Bible. You bring your Bible. Not a book about the Bible. Not someone else's thoughts about the Bible. Not, you get the point? Okay. The Bible. The Bible. I'm going to just wear you down. The Bible. That's the first thing you need. The second thing you need is you need a pen. Why, Mike, do we need a pen? Here's why you need a pen. I got three pens in there just in case one goes out on me. I always got a backup. I got two spares. You need a pen. Why? Because you should mark up where it is that God is really emphasizing something in your life. So as you're reading along, some of you might be afraid, well, this is the Bible. No. Mark it up. Mark it up. God's speaking. Oh, don't want to miss that. Don't want to miss that. You need a pen. Third thing you need, I'm not going to go in a lot of time with this, but friends, you know what? You need a journal. You need a journal. Here's a journal that I use. And I go through one about every 4 months or so, I guess, something like that. And I'm not really phenomenal at it. I just know what it does for me when I just take the time to just, this is something that I want to pay attention to, and I just write it down. It's not a diary, but it's interacting what it is that God is saying. So, number one, you need a Bible. Number two, you need a pen. Number three, you need a journal. And number four, I'm telling you, this just is something that I'm so grateful for, and I use. You need a reading guide of some sort. I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, the last thing I know what to do is I kind of know where I should sit, and I know how to make a cup of coffee, and I don't want to have to somehow, where am I going to read about an experience today, Lord? I just get to look, and I'm encouraging all of you. We created a mini guide. It's on the bottom of the main. The mini guide is all in the book of Proverbs, and usually it's one, maybe two, three verses a day. We can all do that. And I'm just encouraging you to do that. It's the beginning of wisdom that will come your way. Now, of course, it's something that we have to choose to do, and it's not to be legalistic. It's not, friends. It's to learn more about what it is that God wants to do in your and my life. And so I think ultimately I just want to, you know, just say this. At the end of the day, you know, if we really want to become wise, friends, we have to trust Jesus. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, let's read this together. How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. Only fools refuse to be taught. What's the first step? Trust Jesus. What does that look like? That's what I love about the work of God's Spirit, because it's probably going to be different for everyone here. You know what's really sad to me is that, you know, the story of the thief on the cross, and there is that final exchange in his life where he's talking with Jesus, because he finally understands, Jesus, you're God. And he finally, after a life of folly, he comes to his senses and he trusts Jesus on the cross. And he says, is there any way? And Jesus looks with grace and compassion. He says, yeah, there's a way. I'm it. And today you will be with me. And so if there's one right move the guy made, it's his last move. He finally came to trust Jesus. But what a loss. What does his life count for? He dies shortly after, and he's done. Trust Jesus is the beginning of when you and I become wise. And so there needs to come that realization in all of us where we just simply say, you know, I've got to stop my typical approach to life, and I want to be a wiser person. I want to be a wiser man. I want to be a wiser woman. I want to be a wiser husband, a wiser wife. I want to be a wiser student. I want to be a wiser person so that I don't have to go through this life of folly. And I need to make that decision. The decision then you need to make today is you have to trust Jesus. You have to trust Jesus. And you have to understand there's sin in my life that I know I want forgiven. I can feel it. There's a kind of a guilt. My conscience is allowing me to know that there's something not quite right. And so, friends, you need to understand that Jesus is just simply saying, would you please put your hand in my hand? Would you please make a move toward your hand toward me, and I will take it, and we will walk, and I will guide, and I will mold, and I will make, and I will shape you into a person that is wise. But it begins with us trusting Jesus. One of the things Brian mentioned, and I want to again, and that is the baptism piece. It's one of those beautiful pictures of a real tangible step toward trusting Jesus. If you're here today, and you have not, if you've never really understood baptism, you should really come. You know, we invite you to come to that little class. It's just to lift the value and the importance of it and give some clarity as to what it is that baptism means and what it doesn't mean. What it means and what it doesn't mean. Because it doesn't mean some things, but it does mean some things. And we need to understand. It's really important. But one thing it does mean, it means we love and we're trusting Jesus. And when he says, would you be baptized and follow me? Friends, you don't have to feel like you have to have everything together, because none of us do. And I like to say it like this. Baptism is not graduation. It's initiation. And there's a big difference. So trust Jesus, friends. Move toward him. Move toward Jesus. Keep your heart soft and just say, there's folly. I don't even know how to figure it all out, but I do know this. It starts when I trust Jesus. So I'm trusting today. We're going to have communion. And I just want to create a real clarity as to what communion can mean for us today. And that is, as we come forward to take a piece of broken bread and a cup that represents spilled blood, it's Jesus' table. It's his body broken and bruised. As we come, we remember what it is that he did. But also as we come, we're saying, I'm coming because I trust. I come because I want to become more wise. And I want to also call you to the challenge, and that is that you would become a person that would just commit to reading the book of Proverbs. So we've got reading guides on these tables. So you'll come forward and you'll trust. You'll say, "Boy, I'm a little afraid to become a Bible reader, but I tell you what, I want to become more wise. So I'm going to pick up a guide, and I'm going to commit to that for 30 days. For 30 days, and you evaluate, has God made you a wiser person or not? You be the judge. You be the judge. But I'm calling you to it. And I'm calling you as we come forward with communion that you would really make a decision. God, I want to be a wiser person. I'm going to open up your word and I'm going to learn from experiences of others. And I want you to point your finger on me, because honestly, it's not so much that I read the Bible as much as the Bible reads me. There's a difference. Because as I read through Scripture, oftentimes it's like, you know, I get to ask questions like, God, is this describing me? And there's something in my spirit at times that says, yes, it is. And it's just extremely humbling. And you say, God, I don't want to be like that. I want you to change my heart. I want you to do something in me that only you can do. It's not so much I read the Bible as much as the Word of God reads me and you. But we need to make the move. I want to invite the worship team and our communion service forward. And as they come, I just want to ask that you would really stay in a place, in a posture where you're sorting through what it is that God is saying to you today. What is His Spirit saying to you today? Where's the area in your life where there's folly? Where's there places where you'd say, well, I'm hitting hard walls all over the place. In my nose, I haven't even healed up from the first one, and I'm banging into it again, and it's just crazy pain in my life. I haven't got time to even take the bandage off. I've got that bandage on. It seems like that bandage has been on for a long time. Jesus is inviting you and I to become wise. And he says, it's better than gold. So I want to pray. And I want to invite you to pray with me. And as you come forward, there's a place where you can give an offering from your heart, where there's just some worship that you want to extend. Before I pray, there's just a couple of verses that I just wanted to just lift and just allow, maybe there's something of truth that would resonate, and to almost illustrate what it's like that God can speak to us. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When the ways of people please the Lord, he makes even their enemies live at peace with him." I mean, I read a passage like that and I go, wow. You know what it's saying? It's saying that maybe there's something, if I'm honest, or if you're honest, I want to get revenge on somebody. They've wronged me. They've wronged you. And if you're honest, down deep, there's something that's just, it's got its hooks in you. And you're seeing that you want to get even. When you read a verse like that, and there's something in you that says, oh no, if I do what I really feel like doing, that is really contrary to what I've just read. God, please do a work in me. One more. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with finest wines." We're in a time and a day and an age where it's just so hard for us to even honor God. And it might be you're thinking, I just can't give God what he's asked of me to give. And this isn't to be laying any guilt on anyone. I'm just saying, when you read a passage like that, and you know, I want to be wise, and you read and you just say, how come I feel like I don't want to give an offering today? It's just hard. I can't figure out our financial world, and yet, honor the Lord by giving him first. Friends, the book of Proverbs is a challenging book. I pray that God's Spirit speaks to you exactly where you need to be met. Pray with me. Father in heaven, right now, I thank you for this 31 chapters of all of these nuggets. And I am excited about what it is you're going to do with us as a people in these next weeks as we improv. I pray, God, we'd understand. We can become wise. God, for the person here that feels they're just all about folly, I pray that they would understand that there's really hope. And they can enroll in the School of Wisdom today. And that starts with trusting Jesus. And so as we come to your table, and every step that brings us to that table is just an affirmation of us saying, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I want to trust you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. That you do something in our hearts today. We'd understand something about how valuable really is wisdom. It's better than gold. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless us as a people and keep us. May God smile on you and be gracious to you. May God show you his favor and give to you his wisdom so that we as a people can go spread the fame and the reputation of our great God. In Jesus' name, amen. See everybody.